Robbins Kaplan LLP protects and defends American Indian tribes because for too long they have faced a competitive disadvantage when litigating against powerful forces. With its American Indian law and policy practice, Robbins Kaplan LLP seeks to redefine excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country. Founded and led by former United States attorneys Brendan Johnson and Tim Purden, their American Indian law and policy practice exists to bring justice to tribal clients whose claims in the past have been dismissed or ignored due to their underdog status. Their American Indian law lawyers understand the challenges tribes face when state and local government infringe on tribal sovereignty and the federal government neglects its trust responsibilities. Their passion for tribal sovereignty and self-determination is the driving force behind their practice, fueling their tribal advice and advocacy, especially when tribes are forced to litigate against powerful interests. Robbins Kaplan LLP, representing American Indian tribes, tribal government boards and commissions, individual tribal members, and American Indian business and business concerns. For more information, visit robbinskaplan.com.
This hour is supported by Robbins Kaplan LLP, dedicated to redefining excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country.
Live from Macho Blue Earth, Robbins Kaplan Studios, Native Roots Radio.
We went to all the powwows when we were young. At that time, children could not dance. Only people over 50 years of age could dance. Most people do not know this, that the government forbid children to dance Indian. And that was so they could wipe out the culture of the young people, and then finally the new generation would never know what
happened. I'm a member of the American Indian Movement, and I'm from the indigenous nations of the Western Hemisphere.
We American Indians, we can be anything we want to be, except American Indians.
You were here long before any of us were here.
Uju, everybody. My name is Peggy Flanagan. Guabagani Gadikagan Jujaba. I'm from the White Earth Nation, and my family's the Wolf Clan.
There's trouble in Custer, South Dakota yesterday.
That the American Indian Movement is a very proud, continuing part of American Indian society. I thank you.
But what I tell you is that we are not backing down. We are here, we will stand here, because we have been here for 10,000 years. We're the home team, and we're not going anywhere. We're rich.
Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Ahu, Ho-Chunk Raja, Wakunjahade, Hingadena.
On today's show, we have Minnesota Representative Mary Kunush Podine, Ho-Chunk Nation's John Greendeer speaks with Director Sarah Peterson, and North Dakota Representative Ruth Buffalo, and that's just in the first hour. Say, we are always excited to have Mary Kunush Podine, State Representative, on. Here is her special report for this week.
Good afternoon. It is Representative Mary Kunush Podine here. It's August 1st, and what a beautiful, beautiful day it is out there. It is also an important day because there is a whole slew of new laws that go into effect as a result of our legislative session 2019. And one I want to let everybody know about is one that I call the Buttocks Bill. It is a bill that came to me, or an issue that came to me, when one of my constituents was groped on her buttocks through her clothing at a local gym. And when she complained and went to the police, they said there was nothing they could do because that action specifically had been left out of statute. So this bill, I call the Buttocks Bill, intentionally touching someone's clothed buttocks with sexual or aggressive intent without their consent is now considered a fifth-degree criminal sexual conduct. It's a gross misdemeanor, and it is punishable by up to a year in jail and or $3,000 fine. So everybody, keep your hands to yourself. And while we are talking about hands, let me remind you, we are now in hands-free phone mode while we are driving. It's okay to operate your cell phone by voice command or single touch that's activated while you're driving, but you cannot be holding your phone and speaking. The first offense is $130. And then after that, the additional violations are $300 or more. So get your Bluetooth set up, get a microphone or speakers or earbud that you can use, or you know what, just put your phone away and wait until you're in a spot where you're not driving to make those phone calls or respond to them. Another one is that all you slowpoke drivers, you need to stay out of the left lane unless you're passing. So you need to make sure that you stay in the right lane. And if the road has more than one lane in each direction, you as a driver must now get out of the left lane so that the faster drivers can pass. And this requirement does not apply when you're preparing for a left-hand turn at an intersection or into a private driveway or road, but you do have to allow for the speedier drivers in the left lane, you stay in the right. Another law that's really important and I think will affect a number of people is the no vaping law. So Minnesota's Clean Indoor Air Act is expanded to cover e-cigarettes, and that makes them subject to the same prohibitions as tobacco smoking in any restaurants or bars and a lot of public places and indoor workplaces. One fact is that while at least 25 counties and 31 cities across the state already have these restrictions, according to the Minnesota Department of Health, the new law expands the prohibitions statewide. So be careful there. Another piece of law that went into action today are the granny cams. We at the legislature received a lot of concerned messages and pleas from family members who felt that their elderly especially were being taken advantage of or mistreated or maltreated in different care facilities, as well as if they're living at home and somebody's coming in. So now residents of assisted living homes and their families have the right to install hidden monitoring cameras for 2 weeks before they're required to notify the facilities. And that's if you have somebody who's vulnerable living in a group home or a nursing home, you can put cameras up and monitor what's going on. But after 2 weeks, you have to let the facility know if it's not your own home. So that whole Grammy Cam provision is part of a package of safeguards for our seniors and our vulnerable adults. It includes protections against retaliation against residents and employees of care families, facilities, and relatives of the residents. So you have another way to protect those that you love. And the last law that I'll tell you about that went into effect this week or today are parental rights. Sometimes parents lose their children due to mental health, chemical dependency, issues that are above and beyond their control. And this law, this new parental rights law, creates a stronger path towards reunification with their kids. Before this, only attorneys could file petitions to get the children back, and those kids have to have been in foster care for at least 4 years before the petitions were filed. But now parents who have lost their children to whatever situation is can directly petition the judge to have their rights restored. And if they can show that they've addressed their underlying issues, they've gotten their life back on track, they can go through the process themselves without having to depend on those attorneys. But one caveat is that change does not apply to parents who lost their rights because of physical or sexual or psychological abuse. And in the end, it's really still up to the judge to decide what's best in the child's interest. So those are a few of the new rules that went into place today, August 1st. They may affect you, they may not, but the bottom line is that we were doing everything we can at the legislature to make sure that we are addressing the issues that affect our constituents and the folks of Minnesota, and that we're making it better for all of Minnesota.
Pinigigi, as always, Mary Kunish Podine, Minnesota State Representative. You're listening to Native Roots Radio, and we'll be back right after this. When we go out to browse for books and grab something to eat, Moon Palace Books is where we go.
This unique bookstore is located at 3032 Minnehaha Avenue in Minneapolis, just minutes from St. Paul.
A great place to find one-of-a-kind books, cards, and great gifts.
Geek Love Cafe at Moon Palace Books has cold-pressed coffee, pizza, salads.
Local, organic, fair trade, vegan, carnivore options.
Beer and wine.
Community and performance room.
Great parking.
What are we waiting for? Let's go to
Moon Palace Books, 3032 Minnehaha Avenue, Minneapolis.
Native-owned Meg Mechanical is your local heating, ventilation, and air conditioning professional. Meg has the experience needed to diagnose and repair your heating and air conditioning systems. Whether repair or complete mechanical design, we do it all. No job is too big or too small. Mag Mechanical has completed projects as large as U.S. Bank Stadium and will provide the same great service in your home. Visit magmechanical.com or call 612-655-5339. Please remember Mag Mechanical when you have HVAC needs. Mention this ad to receive 1 hour of free service.
The Neighborhood Cafe is a locally owned and operated business and proud sponsor of I'm Awake. Enjoy a great happy hour Tuesday through Saturday from 3 to 6 p.m. with specials on food and drinks. The Neighborhood Cafe serves breakfast, lunch, and dinner, all made from scratch daily. Located next to O'Gara's in St. Paul off Snelling and Selby, stop in and try one of their specialty sandwiches or delicious burgers paired with a local craft beer. More at theneighborhoodcafe.com.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Waking up is easy when you look forward to breakfast. Serve 7 days a week at the Downtowner Woodfire Grill in St. Paul. Try eggs your way with hash browns, bacon, or sausage. There are 4 delicious varieties of Eggs Benedict that should not be missed. And buttermilk pancakes, waffles, or French toast are always fresh off the griddle. How about a Bloody Mary or screwdriver from the bar? The Downtowner Woodfire Grill is located at 253 West 7th Street with plenty of free parking. Or online at downtownerwoodfire.com.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We're having John Greendeer on again, and John Greendeer from Wisconsin, former president of Ho-Chunk Nation, among other things. He's an idol of mine. Let's take a listen.
Hello, and once again, my name is John Greendeer, a.k.a. Mashuska. With my intermittent contribution to Native Roots Radio, thanks once again for this incredible honor to contribute this very open palette discussion on issues in Indian country. So one of the issues that is near and dear to my heart is dealing with Native American health and health within our communities, particularly with obesity, childhood obesity, healthy weights, and type 2 diabetes. And I have just been recently welcomed into the Ho-Chunk Nation Department of Health and Community Wellness. And I'm actually really excited. I got my boss here who has been overseeing the program. Her name is Sarah Peterson. She is the Community Health Director. So she's overseeing health and wellness, and a lot of the different programs the nation has employed, and including some of the grants. But you know, more importantly, what does this look like on the ground in our communities? What types of trends is she seeing, especially related to how our communities are today as to how they, you know, we believe they were prior to 1492, our traditional diets, our traditional practices of hunting and gathering. So today I will allow Miss Peterson to introduce herself and kind of discuss a little bit of what she's seen in her profession. So we have Sarah Peterson.
Yeah, thank you, John. So like you stated, I am the community health director. The biggest difference that I have seen in Native communities that I've had the pleasure of work with is the shift from eating to live to living and to eat. You know, in pre-colonial times, we had to hunt and gather, and this often meant that the hunting parties would be gone from their families for days, weeks, or even months at a time. When they returned home, there was often a celebratory ceremony to honor the hunters, but also the animals that we had taken. We honored our food because it gave us life, and it didn't matter if it was a plant or animal, we gave thanks. This was a natural way of being in balance with the earth, water, and the animal beings around us. Now in this modern world that we live in, we are unbalanced. We no longer have that spiritual relationship with our food. This is primarily due to the traumas that Native Americans have endured for hundreds of years. Now I think that it can be said for any race of people that the relationship with food has changed. Food gives people what they may lack in other areas of their lives, such as comfort, security, control, and stress relief. And unfortunately, though, when we are talking about food and the changes to our diets, now fast food is easy and convenient, and who wouldn't want a little convenience in their lives?
We have fry bread, we have Big Macs, we have high-octane coffee, we have, you know, as you'd mentioned, a diet of convenience. And, you know, we're raising children in this culture to accept this as the norm. And, you know, maybe perhaps explain this massive challenge that you and your team have going out there, not just, you know, trying to lower the amount of diabetes and getting people more active, but how do you actually change a culture of how we've been westernized over? What type of programs are you seeing that have been successful?
Yeah, absolutely. So the biggest focus that we've been trying to gear our programs towards is to make sure that we're not only trying to change what you're eating, but we have to change the narrative. And we need to first focus on healing the mind. You know, our Native communities, they're faced with so many barriers and struggles in how we live our day-to-day lives. And one of the largest that we face is generational trauma and the damage that was caused during removals, boarding schools, government food handouts, and poverty. You know, the list could go on and on. And until we can bring our traditions and values back into our day-to-day living, we're going to remain unbalanced.
So how do you see the grants portion and the, I mean, this one might hit you in left field from left field a little bit, but how do you see, how do you report on the success of any one of these programs in terms of measurables and saying, this is a program I've seen working? What's your idea of how you can show the improvement within the health of our Indian communities with the programs that you oversee?
Well, thank you for that one. Yeah, so all of our programs, the vast majority of our programs that we have coming out of community health, they're prevention-based. So a lot of the grants that we have and that we receive, they're prevention-based. So we have to try to come up with some sorts of measurables that we are able to report back to our grant managers. The biggest one that we are able to say is that we have all of these organic gardens that we have in all of our communities. So we can see the number of families that are coming out to each one of these gardens, and they're picking blueberries and they're picking strawberries, and they're increasing the number of fresh fruits and vegetables that are going into their diets. So we would see that as a success. We can also track through our fitness membership program on some of the users that use it on a regular basis. We do have some that we're able to report back and say, hey, you know what? This person went from being extremely overweight and unmotivated to now they're running the New York City Marathon. We do have a tribal member that is able to do that. So we do have those successes that we are able to report on, even though it is a prevention-based grant.
So about 15 years ago, the federal government really focused on the diabetes prevention as well, developing programs and, you know, granting money out to organizations that were making these custom programs for their communities. We had a spike in the success of that. We saw people jumping onto different programs. The incentives were there for them to join in. They probably, some of them experienced some of their own rewards for the efforts that they put in. But all of a sudden, you start to see us slipping back into this trend where, and it isn't just simply putting the weight back on, but jumping back into a lifestyle that probably doesn't have the healthy choices that they once had. And so we had this flash in the pan of what, you know, the financial and the other resource support had on Indian country. But now that positive impact doesn't seem to be evident anymore. Can you explain what's happening in our communities that's bringing us back to this?
You know, the one thing that we are able to say with our special diabetes grant for Indians is that over the last 6 years, we have maintained our prevalence rate. While that hasn't gone down, we've been able to maintain that even throughout the Bemidji area that we work out of. So it is definitely a positive that we're not increasing. We're also not backtracking either. So the biggest issue that we are seeing now is the fact that we have people that are addicted to sugar, just like any other sort of substance abuse. You know, sugar is one of those things that once you get used to having it in your daily diet, your body starts needing it and they start requiring it. So when we have people coming through our programs and they're suddenly trying to cut out sugar or cut out carbs or whatever it may be in their diets, they're struggling because they go through withdrawals just like any other sort of substance. And that leads to, you know, people backtracking and they start slipping sugar and carbs and stuff back into their diet just to make them feel good again.
So is this something like the New Year's resolution phenomena where people are motivated and have this spike that they really want to see themselves and they go out and push themselves, completely change their diets and aren't really prepared for that? Is this something that you see is kind of very much akin to what's happening in Indian country when they do take on special health initiatives, that they aren't really preparing themselves mentally for the big changes ahead?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's not something that everybody talks about is, you know, we talk that you need to cut out your sugars, you need to cut down your carbs, you need to increase your fruits and vegetable intake, but nobody really talks about what your body is going to go through. You know, I tell people, you know, you got to go through the suck before it gets better. Typically, you know, there is a withdrawal period, especially if you're looking at cutting something out cold turkey. Our registered dietitians that we work with on a daily basis, they're willing to do one-on-ones and kind of help people through this and make attainable small changes into their diets so they don't necessarily set themselves up for failure by cutting sugars and carbs cold turkey.
Another thing, when people are making some healthy decisions and starting to trend themselves to a healthy lifestyle, one of the things that people use to comfort themselves in this new change is to class themselves as busy people, saying, well, I don't really have to work out too much because I'm really busy. I'm running around throughout the day. How do you compare that with someone who's actually on a health program?
Yeah, I think the best way that you can categorize that is that everybody has a busy lifestyle. But until you make that focus where you're putting it in your calendar and your phone buzzes and it says, hey, you know what, it's time to get up and it's time to go for a run or whatever you have scheduled for that day, whether it's a structured fitness class or you're going to go hop on the bike for 20 miles, John, or whatever it may be. You need to have that where it's in your calendar and you're committing to it. It has to be a commitment because not only does that set yourself up for success in your exercise program, but that also sets you up for success in your daily lives as well, because now you're prioritizing your life and you're making priorities within your life to get healthy. And that, of course, is a healthy living habit.
And so finally, I think the thing that should be said, and we've both seen this in the field, is making sure that our tribal communities aren't victims of this epidemic because they're considered lazy or because they're inactive. you know, I want to believe that it's just the opposite. And there are real scientific and biological reasons why this issue affects our communities greater than any other community. Is that something that, you know, you could share with us?
Yeah. So as far as talking about stuff along those lines, you're focusing on kind of the social and determinants of health that minorities often struggle with. One of the largest things that we have to focus on is the fact that, you know, specifically with the Ho-Chunk Nation, we've been geared towards reducing those social determinants and economic determinants that we have. I mean, we now have walking trails and we have all these programs that are available for tribal members. It's really just changing that mindset that this is something that we're going to do. And unfortunately for Native populations, diabetes and obesity have been one of those things that have been normalized. It's no longer seen as something that's bad. It's something that's going to happen. You know, we have youth out there that they've watched their gaga go through amputations or their choka and, you know, blindness, whatever it may be, that goes along with diabetes and obesity. And it's just one of those things that they see as normal. They're going to grow up. They're going to end up gaining weight. They're going to get diabetes. They're going to have amputations. And that's the way their life's going to be. So we really have to, you know, gear our programs towards reaching the youth and helping them through this to see that it's not a normal behavior.
For a lot of the families that are out there in the communities or out in the urban setting, what's your recommendation for individuals or families or households, communities that want to make some positive health changes? What's one of the first resources that they can go to start getting educated on some of the positive changes that they can make and something that they can really commit to?
Yeah, absolutely. So we do have our Ho-Chunk Nation Health Department page. We have all of our divisions on there under community health. You're going to find our nursing programs. You're going to find health and wellness. You're also going to find our dietitians and all those contacts that you need to reach out to. There's always the availability to reach out to your local legislator as well. A lot of our programs, I'm more than willing to have our employees go out to these different communities and do presentations. And we always try to partner with local UW extensions as well as the school systems. So we're readily available if people are willing to reach out.
Well, thank you very much. Again, this is a really important issue. I really believe that, you know, it isn't just about weight. It isn't just about your A1C and, you know, your physical fitness, how far you can run or bike. It really is about strengthening the community, empowering the community. I believe that when you have a healthy body and a healthy mind, that, you know, things like, you know, education and, you know, your professional successes, all of those wishes, your academic goals are reached better with a clean body and a clean mind. So today I am extra grateful to have Ms. Sarah help me out with this contribution to Native Roots Radio. So thank you. Maybe we'll have you on once again. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, John.
Pini Gigi, John Green, for all you do and all the information that you bring us. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex. Recording sexual acts without permission. Hurting someone because of their sexual orientation. Raping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger. Purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin, wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Six unique, fun, exciting, winning destinations located throughout central Wisconsin. Make your rounds to Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, or Wisconsin Dells for the hottest slots, most exciting games, award-winning guest service, delicious food and spirits, lodging, and live entertainment. Join the Ho-Chunk Gaming Rewards Club for free. And with a single card, you can earn valuable points no matter which of the six locations you choose to play. That means more exclusive offers, giveaways, cash back, discounts, and much more. Visit us online to see all we have to offer and find the fun times nearest you at HoChunkGaming.com. So wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin, Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, and Wisconsin Dells.
Experience the difference. Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin.
Must be 21 or over to play.
Jay Selby's, an airy plant-based cafe serving up American classics, nestled in the heart of St. Paul in the historic Cathedral Hill neighborhood at 169 Victoria Street. Jay Selby's serves great plant-based food and only plant-based foods, where customer service is a priority, great food a tradition, and a comfortable, cool space for like-minded people to gather and enjoy a sustainable, environmentally friendly, and compassionate meal. As the Star Tribune writes, Jay Selby's is an innovative vegan restaurant that does a spot-on Big Mac. It's a good day for good food.
MN350 is a grassroots, volunteer-driven organization fighting for climate justice and a swift transition away from a fossil fuel-based economy. To get involved, visit mn350.org or find us on Facebook at MN350. Building a climate movement in Minnesota.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Hi, this is Governor Walz. Thank you for listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, I'm really excited to have Ruth Buffalo of North Dakota, North Dakota House Representative. Welcome to Native Roots Radio.
Hi, thank you for having me. Good morning.
Really excited to have you on. We're really proud of you up here in the Midwest, and especially Minnesota here. I had the opportunity to meet you at a function, which was a fundraiser for a Native American homeless shelter, and it was really a fun. It was a professional wrestling, and it was awesome to meet you. And Mary Kanush Podine had an opportunity to interview you, so I'm really excited to interview you. Welcome again.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
Hey, so can you tell my audience what inspired you to run for office?
Just seeing things that needed to be fixed at a young age, kind of had that type of mentality, I guess you could say, from a young age, and just being raised by a single mom and coming from a tribal community where it's not out of the norm to have women out in the front. I'm a citizen of the Mandan, Hidatsa, and Iroquois Nation. And within our tribe, they're matriarchal and matrilineal. So the women pass on the clan to the next generation, to the children. So that's kind of a bit of like my worldview. And I'm a big sister also, so always like trying to protect the younger ones or stand up for the underdog or the voiceless, mm-hmm. kind of a common theme throughout my life.
Awesome. And so you're a married lady with four children, and that's a full-time job for anybody.
It is, but we manage, and I'm so thankful for my family support and my extended family support. So without them, I couldn't, you know, none of this would be possible. So they definitely were right there in the trenches with me when I ran in a statewide race for insurance commissioner in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
By the end of that campaign, I think we were pretty well versed in parades, like candy, you know, getting the flows, all that stuff ready. So
how big is your district?
It's one of the larger land-based districts in South Fargo, and everything in Fargo is stretching south,
mm-hmm.
And even to the west, like West Fargo is getting pretty big now. It's as far as square miles, gosh, I can't think off the top of my head. I haven't had coffee yet, but it's one of the larger legislative districts in Fargo. And also one of the larger legislative district's population-wise, too. It's growing, and we're projected to be 2,000 people over the ideal legislative district size in this upcoming census.
Mm-hmm.
And so that means more than likely my district will have the potential of being redistricted.
Oh boy.
Too. So that's kind of on the on the radar.
Mm-hmm. I'm here with the representative, Ruth Buffalo of North Dakota. Really excited to have you on. So you have to have a team. You have a lot of, volunteers and things like that to do this. Are you the only Native American in North Dakota legislative branch?
Currently the only Native American woman.
Mm.
So there's a Native American man who is a Vietnam War veteran and a citizen or a member of the Turtle Mountain Band of Chippewa, and he's in the Senate.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Senate side.
So. Wow. So that's amazing. I think what's really important, and I have to thank you, is that, you know, I'm a high school teacher, and I have an all-Native homeroom, and I think it's so important and positive to have role models like yourself that look like my students, and that's how we change things in Turtle Mountain or Turtle Island here. You know, is to have people to look up to that, like yourself, that look like us.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Growing up, I was the majority of my teachers were from Mandaree,
mm-hmm.
Which is on the Fort Berthold Indian Reservation. So a lot of my teachers were grandmas and mainly women. We had one teacher who was a man in the sixth grade, but I am super thankful for that foundation because within my classes, kindergarten through seventh grade, my teachers really intertwined our culture, our cultural teachings about respect for ourselves and for one another and for all people at that time. So I'm super thankful for that. And I try to make sure, you know, as a mom and a parent and being as a community for the people, I try to make sure that we have opportunities for everyone to embrace who they are and to celebrate each other's cultural differences.
Yeah, that's right.
But yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, it's really. I know you know this, but I want my audience to know this too. That it's very important for our success to be able to see successful people that look like us. So it's really a huge thing, and I think, like we in Minnesota here, we have, you know, Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan. I thank her every time she's on, yes. And Mary Kanush Podine, and things like people that are out front. Fighting for everybody and everything that makes sense, and including Native Americans. So I really appreciate that. This whole show started because of what happened in Standing Rock and all the misinformation that was going on, and I had brought people on to talk about what was happening there and what wasn't happening there. So it's been exciting to bring people like yourself that are out front on the show and just tell your story. So the only bummer, you're a two-year job, right? You have to run for re-election almost all the time.
No, North Dakota is, I think we're one of four. There's two different kind of fun facts, I guess you could say, mm-hmm. about our North Dakota legislature.
Mm-hmm.
We're one of four states that we meet every other year for our legislative session.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're one of five states for where our House of Representatives serve a four-year term.
Well, that's awesome. That's really awesome because, you know, we have, like, again, we have our House of Representatives that I think they meet every year now. It's changed over the years. But and then they're always constantly running. And I know Charisse Davids, who's Ho-Chunk also like me, I mean, she's constantly running for office because it's only a 2-year gig for the United States.
US.
Yeah.
Yep.
So. Yeah. So why don't I'd like to get back and come back with you, and if you don't mind, and we can talk about what's going on in North Dakota right now and what you have up. We're going to take a short break, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back with North Dakota Legislative Representative Ruth Buffalo.
We are a Lusa nation.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by. Stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Robbins Kaplan, LLP, protects and defends American Indian tribes because for too long they have faced a competitive disadvantage when litigating against powerful forces. With its American Indian law and policy practice, Robbins Kaplan, LLP, seeks to redefine excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country. Founded and led by former United States attorneys Brendan Johnson and Tim Purden, their American Indian law and policy practice exists to bring justice to tribal clients whose claims in the past have been dismissed or ignored due to their underdog status. Their American Indian law lawyers understand the challenges tribes face when state and local government infringe on tribal sovereignty and the federal government neglects its trust responsibilities. Their passion for tribal sovereignty and self-determination is the driving force behind their practice, fueling their tribal advice and advocacy, especially when tribes are forced to litigate against powerful interests. Robbins Kaplan, LLP, representing American Indian tribes, tribal government boards and commissions, individual tribal members, and American Indian business and business concerns. For more information, visit robbinskaplan.com.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, I want to welcome back Ruth Buffalo from North Dakota, House Representative. Welcome back, Ruth. And hey, can you tell us what's going on in North Dakota and the legislation?
Yeah, so a number of bills went into effect August 1st, which was yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So that's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are like the blue laws that I know a number of Democrat leaders have been working on for years. So it has very strong bipartisan support, and it also, I believe it was a ballot initiative. So it's where stores can open before noon on Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
So that was like a huge stride. And living in Fargo, a lot of people would go across to Moorhead, you know, before noon on Sundays if they needed something, you know, from a grocery store or things like that. So it's interesting that now that will become law as of yesterday. And then there's the other bills. I have a package of bills that I introduced. Two of them were focused on missing and murdered Indigenous people, and then the other two were focused on human trafficking prevention and awareness,
mm-hmm.
Providing training to school administrators and to hotel establishments.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the eagle feather, eagle plume bill that had an emergency clause. So that went into effect as soon as the governor signed it this past spring. So that way students wouldn't have any problems wearing their eagle feathers, eagle plumes at their high school graduations throughout North Dakota. Yeah, so there's five there, and then there was a resolution urging Congress to pass the Savannah's Act, 4, 5, 6, and then a comprehensive study looking at the overall issue of missing and murdered Indigenous people and human trafficking cases.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, passed both chambers, was signed by the governor, and then the Legislative Management Committee met early June and decided which studies they were going to look at, and that particular study regarding MMIAP and human trafficking got scratched because they want to see what challenges will remain after these bills that I just mentioned become law.
Mm-hmm.
So
That's totally exciting. You've been very, very busy on behalf of your constituents. That's awesome.
North Dakota is a little bit different in that we don't meet every year for our legislative session. And so instead we meet every other year for 80 days, which is kind of crazy to me. I feel like that needs to be updated. but this upcoming year is the interim committee work. And so I got assigned to the interim judiciary or the House Judiciary Interim Committee. So we meet September 25th from 8 to 4 p.m. at the Capitol. And then we'll probably learn more at our next meeting. But my understanding is we'll meet at least once a month mm-hmm. during this upcoming year to look at the different studies that were approved and that fall within the House Judiciary.
So what's a day like you then? You go out and meet with people. You're in Atlanta right now, doing a conference. What's your week look like when you're not in session?
When I'm not in session, I've been averaging, I would say, at least 2 to 3 meetings a day, with at least 2 constituents a day that I've been meeting with.
Mm-hmm.
So at least two people, it's kind of slowing down a little bit, I think, since 4th of July. Things have slowed down a little bit for mm-hmm. some reason. But prior to 4th of July, it was pretty constant where I would have at least, it seemed like, 3 constituent meetings a day. And it was good, primarily from District 27, but then also others from across the state and even Fargo, different districts in Fargo. So I'm thankful, like, that people are want to meet with me and want me to help in any way I can. But naturally, like, my public health background and things is that's kind of how I operate anyhow, is like just trying to connect people.
Mm-hmm.
And so that work is still continuing. And then I still am doing my part-time work with First Nations Women's Alliance.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm a mom, and my kids right. are in sports, like summer sports. And my son and husband are in Kansas at a national boys basketball youth tournament in Wichita. So
wow.
One of my colleagues who I did a legislative internship under, Representative Ponkawee Victors, she lives in Wichita and represents the 133rd district in Wichita. She's a representative for her state legislature, so she was able to visit with them and meet them yesterday, the team, so that was pretty cool.
So what's your feelings on who do you like, and what's your feelings?
Well, I know they're having a Native American presidential forum in Sioux City, Iowa, later this month.
Yeah, the 18th and 19th, I'll be there.
Awesome. I plan to be there, too, at least one of the days.
Mm-hmm.
But I did see, you know, through some of our tribal leaders' Facebook posts of meetings being held in Michigan with some of the presidential candidates. So mm-hmm. that's good. But yeah, I wish there was more inclusion of Indigenous peoples, even just the land acknowledgement before the
Right.
The debate would have been awesome. There was at one point one of them I thought was going to mention the indigenous people, but they didn't. Right. I was like, come on, come on, do it. You're almost there. But they didn't. So,
right.
Yeah,
you're right, though. There is a lot of stuff, there's a lot of stuff behind the scenes that we don't know that it's going on. I know there are, I know a few people that work at the state capitol that are Native American that were at the debates and invited by certain politicians to come.
Right.
So that was, there is stuff going on. So it's too early to tell, I guess. I need a debate that's not a shouting match, but something that talks about real issues. And hopefully that'll happen when we when dwindle the number down.
Yeah, I hope so too. Yeah, there's so many. And it's,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
There's a lot.
Well,
so,
listen.
But yeah, I've been following.
That's great.
Oh,
no,
go ahead.
I'm sorry. I just want to say I'm with Ruth Buffalo, North Dakota, House of Representative. And I want to really thank you for spending this time with us at Native Roots Radio. And I hope to get you on again soon, real soon, and make it a regular thing, because we all over Turtle Island, Native Roots Radio is out there. And I'm sure they're really interested in what's going on with you in North Dakota.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it. I appreciate all the support greatly. My family supports it. Appreciates the support as well.
All right. Pini Gigi, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this break.
Robbins Kaplan, LLP, protects and defends American Indian tribes because for too long they have faced a competitive disadvantage when litigating against powerful forces. With its American Indian law and policy practice, Robbins Kaplan, LLP, seeks to redefine excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country. Founded and led by former United States attorneys Brendan Johnson and Tim Purden, their American Indian law and policy practice exists to bring justice to tribal clients whose claims in the past have been dismissed or ignored due to their underdog status. Their American Indian law lawyers understand the challenges tribes face when state and local government infringe on tribal sovereignty and the federal government neglects its trust responsibilities. Their passion for tribal sovereignty and self-determination is the driving force behind their practice, fueling their tribal advice and advocacy, especially when tribes are forced to litigate against powerful interests. Robbins Kaplan, LLP, representing American Indian tribes, tribal government boards and commissions, individual tribal members, and American Indian business and business concerns. For more information, visit robbinskaplan.com.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, all things are our relatives. What we do to everything, we do to ourselves. All is one. Black Elk. Hey, I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy Pilot. Wendy has been an animal advocate for many years. She is a volunteer Minnesota State Council member for the Humane Society of the United States, and she works on animal issues at the state level. Tell us your name, please, Wendy.
Hi, everybody. My name is Hanajihi Hani, and that means cares for them. And I was given that name by my Dega, Curtis. So that's awesome. I love that name, and it means so much to me. Before I get started talking about my little episode on Friday morning, saving a baby bunny, I just want to give a quick update from the Humane Society of the United States. You know, there's a storm headed Tropical Storm Barry to Louisiana. And right now, HSUS and their team is loading all dogs and cats in the shelters that are going to be affected by this tropical storm, getting them out on an airplane to other parts of the United States, because they have learned over and over again, storms come and then there's animals that are, you know, deserted and left and need to be rescued, and they need a place to go. So they're taking all the dogs out of the shelters now, bringing them elsewhere in the United States so that they have room for animals here. So go HSUS. And I don't know, I've always wanted to like be one of those rescue volunteers, you know, like to get the animals out and do all that kind of stuff. I think that's kind of fun, but maybe someday before I get too old, right? I have to be springy to do that, right, Robert?
It takes a Fifth Amendment on that.
But Friday morning was a crazy morning. I was rushing out to work as usual, last minute, just flying out the door. And, you know, I walk out the door, and right on the grass, right there, is a baby bunny. And it's just sitting there, not doing anything, and there's flies all over it. So, I mean, I knew in an instant, you know, that this bunny was in distress and it was sick. I mean, it was breathing. It was looking around. I knew it was alive. So I ran into the garage and I got a cat carrier. I ran back out and then you came out, Robert. You were standing there looking at me like running around like a crazy woman. And I was like, go get some gloves. So then Robert comes out with gloves.
No, my first response was, huh?
Robert, you look like a deer with the headlights on you, right? Yeah. So anyway, we tried to catch the bunny. It was clearly sick, clearly ill, but it hopped away from us, and we couldn't catch it. I had to get to work, so I went to work, got to work, and I couldn't stop thinking about the bunny.
I tried to catch it while you were gone.
I know you did. I appreciate that. So anyway, I finished what I had to do at work. I was there for about an hour. I left work, came back home, and the bunny was in the middle of the yard just sitting there, not covered in anything. Again, all flies and everything on it. So I'm like, okay, great. Now what do I do? How do I get this bunny? I went and I grabbed a towel, and I tried to put the towel over the bunny to grab it. Mm-hmm. Again, the bunny's hopping away.
Like a magic act.
So the bunny runs under these bushes that we have against our house. And I move the bushes away, and the bunny's against the house. So I just grabbed the bunny by the neck, by the scruff of its neck, and that was the key. It just like went limp, and I was able to grab it and bring it to the Wildlife Rehabilitation Center of Minnesota, and it's in Roseville. And Robert, we've brought injured squirrels there, or baby squirrels there, in the past. And it's
many of them.
Yeah, it's a wildlife rehabilitation center, and they take all kinds of injured and orphaned animals. So I brought the bunny in, and the lady said that it was almost an adult, but not quite adult. And she, of course, they didn't know yet what was wrong with it. They didn't know. They were going to check it out. I left a donation, and the woman said that when the bunny's better, the bunny's going to be released back to our yard, because they said that bunnies are territorial, and I had no idea. So she said I could call there and find out the status of the bunny, and I'd like to know when they're going to release it back into the yard, because I'd like to have a little welcome home party for it, have a little sign like, "Well, welcome back, Cottontail." That's what they wrote on their on the paper. It was a cottontail.
Well, I don't know. I don't want to break too much into your segment, but I remember this is really good knowledge, because when this first happened to us, we were clueless in what to do. So I really appreciate you bringing this knowledge in what happened to you on Friday.
Yeah, thanks. I do. And I just want to tell everybody where the rehabilitation center is. It's 2530 Dale Street North in Roseville. And they're open 365 days a week. I think they're open from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. and then a shorter time on the weekend. But they have a great website, and they give you lots of tips on what to do if you find a wild wild animal who's injured. And you could go and volunteer there. And they always need donations. So if you're have it in your heart to donate it. But while I was there, there was a woman who had a little baby mouse in a box that she found in her basement. And she said that she let the mouse out on the ground outside, but it wouldn't move and it wouldn't go anywhere. So she knew it was sick. So she brought it in. And the lady behind the counter taking in the mouse was so happy that the woman brought in this little teeny mouse in, you know, to mm-hmm. help them. And then there was a guy standing there with a turtle that he found with a cracked shell. And I know a lot of people will see turtles and they'll have a big crack in their shell, but the turtles are still alive. So bring them in. Actually, they glue the shells back together and that grows. Yeah. So there's a lot of controversy about whether or not that you should be able to help wildlife, right? Huh. There's a lot of people that say no. And honestly, I found an article of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service says, keep the wild in wildlife. Don't touch or feed. Except they do want you to help the animal if the animal has a broken, a visibly broken limb. The animal is bleeding. The animal has a dead parent nearby, right? Or it's like tangled up in some man-made object. They do want you to help them, but they don't want you to help them. They want you to call them so that they could come and get the animals. But that was my little thing here. But I have a little thing here I wanted to just read about this. Wildlife officer, his name's Richard Bear, and let's see here. He got a call from somebody that baby raccoons were orphaned after their mother was hit by a car, and he took them to a wildlife rehabilitation center. Migratory bird specialist Bob Murphy did that too. Last year, Bob was getting his canoe ready for a canoe trip. A friend spotted an osprey. It's a bird. I don't mm-hmm. know how to pronounce it. Hanging upside down, tangled in fishing line, way up in a nearby pine tree. Bob eventually climbed the tree and cut down the bird with the fishing line, and he then carefully placed the bird into the backpack, climbed down the tree, and took the bird to a rehabilitation center. The osprey was somewhat dehydrated, malnourished, had slightly injured toe, and suffered neurological problems from hanging upside down for some time. Mm. But the bird recovered, and he was released back in the wild. So I don't know. For me, if I see an animal, I'm going to help it because that's what's in me, in my DNA, and I can't help doing that. And I know a lot of people would just say, well, just leave the bunny alone. An eagle or a hawk will come by, and that'll be dinner, and it's a cycle of life.
Not if he's sick, though. I mean, I don't think that would be a healthy meal in all seriousness. No, I mean, really.
Probably not. I mean, who knows? I don't know about that. But, yeah, that sounds That sounds kosher to me. I don't know. But anyway, so the Wildlife Rehabilitation Center of Minnesota, it's right in Roseville. Bring injured wildlife there and leave a donation. They're always looking for donations and volunteers, and it's a really cool place.
Well, as always, thank you so much for bringing in your knowledge. And this is a very big deal for us because I know we've run into this before where we didn't know what to do. We had somebody come ready to break the squirrel's neck, mm-hmm. and we didn't do that. We ended up finding this.
Yeah, the rehabilitation center and bringing the squirrel there. And they send you updates, and it's a great organization.
It really is. Yeah. Well, thank you again for talking about our sacred animals. And I know this is when we go running around, this is a very popular part of our show, so I can never fire you. So
thanks, I appreciate that. So if you see Robert anywhere and doing anything, just say, I love the sacred animal section of the show.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back.
Hi there, this is Mel, manager of the Four Sisters Farmers Market, here live on Franklin Avenue in the American Indian Cultural Corridor. We've got a vibrant mix of vendors here today, Piccadilly's from New Native Theater, produce from Growing Lots, Dream of Wild Health, and the 24th Street Urban Farms Coalition. We have houseplants from my booth as well, the Greenery Minneapolis, jams and jellies from Edible Arts, and soaps from Maya Made. You can find Nice Ride and Hennepin County Library here as well. Find us here every Thursday through September 26th from 11 to 3 p.m.
When we go out to browse for books and grab something to eat, Moon Palace Books is where we go.
This unique bookstore is located at 3032 Minnehaha Avenue in Minneapolis, just minutes from St. Paul.
A great place to find one-of-a-kind books, cards, and great gifts.
Geek Love Cafe at Moon Palace Books has cold-pressed coffee, pizza, salads.
Local, organic, fair trade, vegan, carnivore options.
Beer and wine.
Community performance room.
Great parking.
What are we waiting for? Let's go to
Moon Palace Books, 3032 Minnehaha Avenue, Minneapolis.
Native-owned Meg Mechanical is your local heating, ventilation, and air conditioning professional. Meg has the experience needed to diagnose and repair your heating and air conditioning systems. Whether repair or complete mechanical design, we do it all. No job is too big or too small. Mag Mechanical has completed projects as large as U.S. Bank Stadium and will provide the same great service in your home. Visit magmechanical.com or call 612-655-5339. Please remember Mag Mechanical when you have HVAC needs. Mention this ad to receive 1 hour free service.
The Neighborhood Cafe is a locally owned and operated business and proud sponsor of I'm Awake. Enjoy a great happy hour Tuesday through Saturday from 3 to 6 p.m. with specials on food and drinks. The Neighborhood Cafe serves breakfast, lunch, and dinner, all made from scratch daily. Located next to O'Gara's in St. Paul off Snelling and Selby, stop in and try one of their specialty sandwiches or delicious burgers paired with a local craft beer. More at theneighborhoodcafe.com.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Waking up is easy when you look forward to breakfast. Serve 7 days a week at the Downtowner Woodfire Grill in St. Paul. Try eggs your way with hash browns, bacon, or sausage. There are four delicious varieties of Eggs Benedict that should not be missed. And buttermilk pancakes, waffles, or French toast are always fresh off the griddle. How about a Bloody Mary or screwdriver from the bar? The Downtowner Woodfire Grill is located at 253 West 7th Street with plenty of free parking. Or online at downtownerwoodfire.com.
Aho, I'm Marlon Whiteyville, president of the Ho-Chunk Nation, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
We are the Lusa Nation.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakanjahade. Hey, I'm here at the Four Sisters Farmers Market, and it's a Thursday, and I'm here with the manager, Mel Anderson. Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Hi, Robert. Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be on your show.
Oh, hey, so can you tell us a little bit about this? Like, tell us where it is and what day it is.
Yeah, the Four Sisters Farmers Market is every Thursday through September 26th, and it's from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m.
That's cool. And so how do we, you know, we got Dream of Wild Health here. Let's name a few of the places that are here because it's really supporting the area here. We're off Franklin Avenue. It's really supporting Native communities.
Yes, it's an indigenous-led farmers market here. And so we have Dream of Wild Health. They're based out in Hugo, Minnesota. We have Maya Made Soaps. Simone Rendon, who does edible arts, she makes some jams and jellies. We've got New Native Theater doing Navajo Piccadillys, Growing Lots Urban Farm, lots of produce. We've got Rowan here representing the 24th Street Urban Farms Coalition with some urban, super hyper local produce there. Nice Ride, Hennepin County Library, and Bob, of course, from Powwow Grounds, doing his weekly Indian tacos.
It's awesome, too. When we're in the Powwow Grounds parking lot, basically, right off Franklin, and it's exciting because people just are walking up here, checking out. Like, for instance, I was standing at Dream of Wild Health for a long time and talking to the students about what they're doing and what they're learning. So it's an entrepreneurship for them, and I think it's just an awesome thing that the community's given you.
This has been fantastic. It's the sixth year that the Four Sisters Farmers Market has been going, and it's the second year that we have switched it to Thursdays. Previously, we had been Fridays. So for those of you who've never been to the market before, it will always be on Thursdays, 11 to 3. So mostly it's to promote accessibility, healthy food accessibility in what used to be a food desert. There was not any nearby grocery stores or any hyper-local produce here. And so we wanted to just bring that back to the community.
So, Mel, how do we get a hold of somebody from the Four Sisters Farmers Market like yourself?
So we will provide a link for you on your page, Robert, a link to our Facebook page where if anybody was interested in becoming a vendor, you can just send us a message.
On what it is and what they're selling and if they have tax IDs and all that, I suppose.
Exactly. If there was any food that you wanted to make, we wanted to make sure that you had your cottage food license, things like that.
So, you know, let's talk a little bit about the greenery of Minneapolis. This is your booth, and it's right next to your home base right here. Let's talk a little bit about your business.
Yeah, so it's kind of fun having the greenery in Minneapolis here at the farmers market. I think we were missing that little pop of green. And by green, my friends, I'm referring to houseplants for your home. We don't do floral or any nursery plants like that. This is all just strictly houseplants.
So are there any plants here that would, like, give me more oxygen in my house? Or it looks like with a variety of plants here, you have a whole different amount of plants. Are there any specific for specific things?
Yeah, we have many. So the Chinese aglaonema is actually a really popular one that they refer to purifying the air. And so I do offer that. A lot of the tropical foliage plants are good for purification, snake plants, pothos.
Cool. So what do you sell the most? What plants do you sell the most? I see you sold a few while we were sitting here.
You know, ironically, the pencil cactus seems to be really popular. Just because it's an obscure plant people don't see very often, it tends to be a California plant, but they're a lot of fun.
I just am laughing because I've never heard of that plant. A pencil what?
Pencil cactus.
Nice. Okay, so what else do we have over here? Because you have a variety of sizes, too, so I guess if I had a small apartment, I wouldn't take that big old plant over there.
No, so you could start by doing heart-shaped philodendrons. We've also got calatheas. They have purple leaves underneath, painted leaf foliage. Those are a lot of fun. And they're small to start. They're not super fast growers. So for those of you who have, like, the smaller apartment spaces, those are great.
That's cool. So we have a variety, too, where I keep on using the word variety, but we have a whole plethora of different plants here for, I imagine, different kind of light, too.
Oh, absolutely. I tend to lean towards the ones that don't need full sunlight, just because I know it's really hard for people in their homes to provide that amount of light for plants. So that's why I deal with tropicals mostly. Filtered sunlight, partial sunlight, lots of moisture.
What got you into doing this? Do you just love plants, or...?
I love plants. I absolutely love plants. But really, I just wanted to bring that to other people, too, because I know that the winters get long, it's cold, it's gray, and it's just like the one thing where it makes you feel like you're caring for something, and it's rewarding to see new growth on plants.
That's wild, because my wife has a native name, and it's called Cares for Them, and that's beautiful.
That's amazing.
Yeah, my uncle gave it to her. So let's give a quick shout-out here to... Do you have a web page, Greenery Minneapolis?
Yep, it's thegreenerympls.com. And you can also find me on Facebook and Instagram. I tend to be more active on Instagram.
Well, you know, thanks for having us and thanks for answering these questions. So if anyone can on Thursday, come on out here to the Four Sisters Farmers Market and meet everybody and support the community.
We'd love to see everybody here. Please don't forget.
Pini Gigi, thanks for being here. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this break with Rihanna Yazzie.
We are Alusa Nation.
Hey, this is Uncle Curtis Moshe Hanajinga from Native Roots Radio. The advertisers you hear on Native Roots Radio, I Am Awake, help us stay on the air. Help us by supporting our wonderful sponsors. Stop in and let them know you heard about them on Native Roots Radio, I Am Awake. You will be helping us as well as helping out the economy by supporting local businesses. For a list of our sponsors, visit our website at nativerootsradio.com.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex. Recording sexual acts without permission. Hurting someone because of their sexual orientation. Raping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger. Purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin, wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Six unique, fun, exciting, winning destinations located throughout central Wisconsin. Make your rounds to Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, or Wisconsin Dells for the hottest slots, most exciting games, award-winning guest service, delicious food and spirits, lodging, and live entertainment. Join the Ho-Chunk Gaming Rewards Club for free. And with a single card, you can earn valuable points no matter which of the six locations you choose to play. That means more exclusive offers, giveaways, cash back, discounts, and much more. Visit us online to see all we have to offer and find the fun times nearest you at HoChunkGaming.com. So wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin, Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, and Wisconsin Dells.
Experience the difference. Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin.
Must be 21 or over to play.
Jay Selby's, an airy plant-based cafe serving up American classics, nestled in the heart of St. Paul in the historic Cathedral Hill neighborhood at 169 Victoria Street. Jay Selby's serves great plant-based food and only plant-based foods where customer service is a priority, great food a tradition, and a comfortable, cool space for like-minded people to gather and enjoy a sustainable, environmentally friendly, and compassionate meal. As the Star Tribune writes, Jay Selby's is an innovative vegan restaurant that does a spot-on Big Mac. It's a good day for good food.
MN350 is a grassroots, volunteer-driven organization fighting for climate justice and a swift transition away from a fossil fuel-based economy. To get involved, visit mn350.org or find us on Facebook at MN350. Building a climate movement in Minnesota.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
This is Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio, I'm Awake.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Robert Pilot. I am here with Rihanna Yazzie, and I'm always excited to have her on the show. Welcome back to Native Roots Radio, I'm Awake.
Thank you, Robert. Appreciate it.
Right. So we have a lot of positive stuff, and I love having you on because we just talk about positivity and things that are happening. Tell us what's happening with a new Native theater. And I wanted to get rid of the, but I got rid of the new this time.
Well, you're doing a good job. You're doing a good job. Well, new Native theater, we're
as you know, celebrating our 10th anniversary, and we are producing a play called The Rez Sisters, which is written by Thompson Highway, and it first premiered in 1986 in Toronto, and it began the Native theatrical renaissance. It has been a super influential play for the Native theater that has sort of emerged. So a lot of what we do can be traced partially back to, you know, there were a lot of formative moments in Native theater, and the production of The Rez Sisters was a really big moment.
Cool. So this production here, can you tell us where, when, and how?
Yeah, so our production of The Rez Sisters is happening at Gremlin Theater, and that is in St. Paul. It is 550 Vandalia Street, and we are running this play August 14th through September 1st, and that's a Wednesday through Sunday for 3 weeks. And we have a really awesome, super fun cast, and I definitely have to mention that Tito Ibarra is playing Nana Bush, and it's really fun to have him in the play because he's a fantastic comedian, and I know so many people in the Native community are always look forward to when Tito's doing stand up, doing any kind of comedy. So I really think it's a cool thing that he gets to play a trickster in our show.
That is awesome. Hey, I just got to mention a few things about the theater itself. It's a great, cozy little theater. When I got the chance to experience it, I really loved the experience of the theater that you're in.
Yeah, so that is not our theater, but we love to rent it. So Gremlin Theater, it's this, it's almost in the round, not quite, so it seats about 150, you know, just a beautiful, sort of feels like a black box theater, and we've been in there for quite a few shows, and we've done our play festivals in there in the past, and, you know, we just had a show in there in May.
Cool. What was that show?
It was called An Ode to Songs of Resistance and Celebration. So that was a play that was like a community-created play, sort of more actor-created play around the subject of the civil rights movement, the Native rights movement, and the different songs, where they were written by Native people or non-Native people that were really important during that time. So we got to do a sing-along. You could bring your guitar, see your chords on the sheet and lyrics, and it was just a really informal and fun night.
Yeah, I had the opportunity to interview a few of your actors from that.
Right, yeah, Geneva, right?
Right, exactly. And also I had an opportunity to, I think it was a pre-opening I came to. And I got to sing and hang out.
Yes, yes, that's right. It was great to see you there.
And I got to take pictures with David Kanoyer. That's always always good.
Oh, yeah, very fun.
So, yeah, that was the time that I had a chance to see the theater and how it worked. And it was really funny because I didn't know what the structure was, so I started talking, and there was lines, but everyone was very cool about it because it was very organic and the play.
Well, you couldn't tell who was an actor and who was an audience member. I think that was very fun. I remember that. I'm glad you were there, and we could have made a little more space for you to talk too.
No, but you guys were pulling together your at least the outline of what you guys wanted to do, and it took me a few times when I did my ad-libbing to figure out what was going on, but everyone was very cool about it, and it was fun to sing those songs.
Yeah, well, you know, you won't be mistaken when you come see Rez Sisters, whether or not you're an actor or audience member. It's going to be one of the things that we do at New Native Theater is we do produce these kind of create community or actor-created shows, which is like the one that you saw. We also present shows, so we've brought in plays from Hawaii and Toronto before. And then, of course, we do sort of conventional theater, which is producing plays that are in the native canon or brand new plays that we're developing with playwrights. And so this, the Rez Sisters, is, again, it's just like one of the grandfathers of native plays, and we're really excited that we get to be producing it. And it's seven women in the cast. It's called, they're all related. They're all the sisters. And then they are trying to get to the world's largest bingo, which is happening in Toronto. So they're all on Manitoulin Island. They're Oji-Cree, and they're trying to figure out how do we get to Toronto. So there's all of these different obstacles, but it's so fun and poignant and really beautiful.
So the last couple of minutes here, can you just, you say it's the 10th anniversary. Can you tell us how it started and a little history about the theater?
Yeah, it started because I moved to Minneapolis on a playwriting fellowship that I got with four non-native playwrights who like came from Columbia, Juilliard, Brown, and I received this playwriting fellowship. I moved here from graduate school after working in regional theater. And I thought, like, oh, this is the best place for a native playwright to live because there's amazing native community, really amazing theater community. And then I saw, oh, wait, where's the bridge? Like, there isn't, like, a full-on native theater company producing, you know, four times a year or more big productions, some, you know, like, career-oriented kind of theater. So ultimately, I sort of found that was where I was headed and what I was going to do. And so New Native Theater started off with a lot of training, a lot of informal events like karaoke events. We did Franklin Avenue Indian Idol. We do that contest yearly. We might be doing it again this year. And then ultimately, we are now at our 10th anniversary, and so we've trained so many people in the community, gotten really fantastic actors, really changed the ecosystem regarding Native performing arts. And so this 10th anniversary year, we've produced seven plays. This will be our eighth play just since last May. Mm-hmm. So this 10th anniversary season is really hard-earned and well thought out, and I think it'll be really super fun for everyone.
So I know you talked a little bit about the cast. Who else do we have?
It's a fantastic cast. So we have some brand new folks in our ensemble and folks that maybe audiences have seen before. So for instance, Rebecca Crisanta de Ibarra, she is playing the character Annie Cook. She's a country singer, and she's in love with a Jewish country singer. it's super fun. And Rebecca is actually the founder and curator of Electric Machete Studio. She's a fantastic singer-songwriter and amazing visual artist. And she hails from the Mayalinka tribal community in El Salvador. And so I'm super excited that she's acting in this play. She did co-direct a play with us earlier in the year. Inez Dakota is a favorite of ours, of course. She's been at New Native Theater since 2010, and she came to us 48 years old, said she had a hidden heart for theater, and saw our ad in the Circle newspaper that said no experience necessary. And so ever since then, she's been acting with us, and she's been doing amazing. Like, she gets residuals from Disney because she started doing commercials, and she even was in an ABC TV show for an episode. So, yeah, she's doing great. We have J. Harold Zamora, who was just in the play that we were mentioning, the celebration of Songs of Resistance. And Jay was also in an earlier play of ours this year that was a co-production with Stages Theater Company, The Three Snow Bears. Then we have a good handful of brand new actors, Fawn Mason, Angelique Morgan, and April Morrison, who are women who lived in this community, had heard about New Native Theater, and finally were like, you know what, let's go for it, let's audition. And just fantastic energy, just like really beautiful, fantastic to be able to get them as community members. And again, just kind of the way Inez started off, how they are now finding this hidden heart for theater, because Native folks, we're just not encouraged to create careers in the performing arts. We aren't. So it's going to be super fun to see them in this show. And of course, I'm going to be in the play. And I have not acted in a new Native theater play since 2012. So I'm really looking forward to that. And then, of course, Sam Sochi Sampson is understudying Nana Bush, the trickster, which Tito Ibarra is playing. And I think there might be one or two nights that Sam Sochi is actually going to be on stage. So, and if anybody knows him, he's, you know, Sam Samson's son from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and an amazing artist in his own right and a hoop dancer. Just really, really star-studded cast.
Wow. And thank you so much for stopping in. And we're on location, and thank you for all the information and what you do for the community.
Well, thank you, Robert, and thank you for your show, and thanks for getting the word out. We really would love people to come on down. It's pay what you can, or you can buy tickets online at brownpapertickets.com ahead of time. Otherwise, we'd love to see you guys, and we, you know, can do some group sales as well if folks are interested. You can find out all this information at newnativetheater.org, and we always spell theater with the R-E at the end instead of an E-R.
Thank you again.
Thank you.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by. Stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence. And shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Robbins Kaplan LLP protects and defends American Indian tribes because for too long they have faced a competitive disadvantage when litigating against powerful forces. With its American Indian law and policy practice, Robbins Kaplan LLP seeks to redefine excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country. Founded and led by former United States attorneys Brendan Johnson and Tim Purden, their American Indian law and policy practice exists to bring justice to tribal clients whose claims in the past have been dismissed or ignored due to their underdog status. Their American Indian law lawyers understand the challenges tribes face when state and local government infringe on tribal sovereignty and the federal government neglects its trust responsibilities. Their passion for tribal sovereignty and self-determination is the driving force behind their practice, fueling their tribal advice and advocacy, especially when tribes are forced to litigate against powerful interests. Robbins Kaplan LLP, representing American Indian tribes, tribal government boards and commissions, individual tribal members, and American Indian business and business concerns. For more information, visit robbinskaplan.com.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Anin, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, this is the ending of our show, and it's a great way to end it with our Choka here, Curtis West. Welcome, Uncle Curtis.
Hey, Kurgi Yichuske. My name is Maske Hanajinga. I walk on a white cloud. My colonized name is Curtis West, and I want to say hi to my baby girl. And I want to say ha-ho to all my family and relatives and friends in four directions. We pray all is well. And then, like I say, my Chushke cuts me loose for a little bit, and I appreciate that, Chushke. And so I'm going to do some birthdays, some shout-outs, and some events. So I'm going to start off with some birthdays. And the one that's really special to me is my youngest grandson. His name is Grant West, so his name is Haina. But he's the youngest, and his birthday's coming up. And we got another relative of ours. Her name's Hayden Josephson, and I guess she turned 12 years old, but happy birthday. And then we got one here, a relative of ours, too, from Twin Cities. Her name's Brenda Bruce Bell. We're going to say happy birthday. And a friend that took care of the family for a long time, he's a half Ojibwe, half Mexicano. His name is Pastor Tom Volterra, and it's his birthday, too. And one over there in Wisconsin, too, is another relative, I guess, is Stevie Marie. And we're going to say happy birthday there. And then we wanted to say hi to the wrestling champ. Happy birthday to Austin Errol.
Right on.
And a sponsor of ours from MAW, Midwest All-Star Wrestling, his birthday too. So we're going to say happy birthday to you, Eli Mick Kostland. So I want to say happy birthday to them young ones. Now I'm going to get on to the old guys and the elders. You know, there's a couple people older than me and Chushke over here. So I want to say happy birthday to Diane Lone Tree. I want to say happy birthday to John Edwards. Want to say happy birthday to Paul Cloud, Greg Whitehorse, and he's not a Wangsheek, but he's a relative of ours. It's my brother-in-law.
Who?
His name is Larry Elberts, and that old guy turned 73, so I told on you, Larry, so I'm let that go like that one. And so anyway, I'm going to give some shout-outs, and the shout-outs I'd like to do today is I want to say congratulations to my Kunu Dallas West and his wife Tracy. Happy anniversary. And then another big one that come around too that we're going to say happy birthday to is me and Chushke's Choka Willie and his Queen Bee. They're a fourth anniversary, so I want to say congrats on their anniversaries.
Congrats.
Many, many more. And we want to say congratulations to the Winnebago Tribe of Nebraska. They're the first tribe nation in Nebraska to start planting hemp.
Mm-hmm.
And our relative, too, Aaron LaPointe's in charge of that. So we want to say ha-ho down there. It's a good thing, and it's a good product, you know. And we want to say congrats to the Wodok, the newspaper from the nation, you know, on their latest transformation, you know, their staff changes. They got a lot of upgrades with their camera work and their upgrades on email and email notifications. And it's really a good thing, and we're looking forward to working with them, me and Chushke here, you know. So
Yeah, look for an ad from Native Roots Radio in the Hoak.
And then we want to give me some events out here, too. So it's important on language. So they wanted Nani Betty Greencrow wanted me to pass this on. They're going to shorten them up for a couple weeks. So on the Monday classes, it's going to go from 5:30 to 6:30. And then on Thursday, it's going to be 6 to 8. And then they're not going to bring a feed bag this week. They said a light snack. So, you know, so you don't have to maybe bring chips or something, you know. But,
they're getting ready for the Indigenous Games.
Oh, they are. They're going to try to stay in shape on that one. So keep them in shape. So, but the other thing I'm going to do on events is coming up, and it's real important. I'll keep bringing this up. But the reason I'm bringing it up is it's the Ho-Chunk Nation's Elder Summit of 2019. That's August 26th through the 27th. And, that's 60 plus the whole chunks like that, right? But there's going to be the movie screening of Dodging Bullets. You know, it's about the trauma that Indian, either with Indian children or just all kinds of issues with Native trauma. So that's going to be on Tuesday. And then 8:30, but the deadline to register, that's a real important thing, is Friday. This Friday, the 9th, is that, because that way if you elders that are coming 50 miles or more, it's a free lodging. You get your hotel room taken care of and things like that. So, but you got to have that in so they can have you registered because they said the rooms are limited. So just to make sure. And that number over there for that call in there, if you want to talk to them, is 715-284-0811. And her name is Dina Mitch.
Okay? Do it again.
715-284-0811, and her name is Dina Mitch, and that's with the Tribal Agency Unit, okay? So, really important if you are you coming in 50 miles plus, get your room reserved, okay? Mm-hmm. And then on Tuesday, August 6th from 11 to 3, it's a Ho-Chunk Youth Movie Day at the Imagine Theater at 1180 County Road J, White Bear Lake, Minnesota. That's the St. Paul Youth, Youth Incorporated. That's first grade to 12th. And they said the snacks and the tickets will be and transportation provided. Please contact either Danielle, Micah, or Vicky. They said it's going to be a kid-friendly movie, G to PG. They don't know exactly what movie they're going to do. They said space is limited. Call, okay?
Oh, I wonder if we can go.
I'm going to try to sneak in. I thought I was still in 12th grade. But, And here's another important one, too. But they said they told us to tell the youth and the parents to stay tuned for that backpack, back-to-school mm-hmm. backpack and supplies. It's going to be at the Ho-Chunk branch office, but either call Stephanie up at the office or check out the website here. We'll have more information put on, but just stay tuned. And
what is that office called again? Onishanga?
No. Macho. Macho.
Oh, and that means?
Blue Earth.
Right
Blue
on Earth. Selby Avenue. Not in St. Paul, not Minneapolis.
Nope.
Sorry.
Nope. Oh, is that? And another important one I wanted to tell you before Robert takes over here, but the real important one, too, is at the Minneapolis Institute of Arts. It's that thing going on. It's the last weekend. It's Hearts of Our People. It's all about the Native women artists. And it's the last weekend, Saturday and Sunday. Saturday, it's from 10 to 5. Sunday, it's 11 to 5. And the other important one, too, is that this Four Sisters Farmers Market. So mm-hmm. every Thursday from about 11 to 3, it's on Franklin Avenue, a little parking lot or something up there by Franklin Avenue, right by the Powell Grounds mm-hmm. coffee shop.
Yep, right in the parking lot there.
And there was another one I wanted to let you guys know, too, is that, there's all your prayer warriors out there. We'd like you to keep her in your thoughts and prayers is my Chujunk, Jaleesa Glynn, mm-hmm. And we'll have more talking about her and stuff like that. But
Mahinu, yeah.
Yeah, that's there you just go up there, and if you want to look at her GoFundMe page, she's dealing with some medical issues right now. But if nothing else, keep her in your thoughts and prayers in the family, mm-hmm. So we'd like to say that. And one more thing, I would like to say is that August 24th, Native Roots Radio is going to be live at the Minnesota State Fair.
That's right. Where is that again?
At the International Market. It's going to be probably about 2 to 3.
Yep.
And
commercial free.
Commercial free, and there will be Robert will be handing out autographs.
Yeah, and we have pictures of Choka here, and he'll be signing them too. And it'll be a great.
If you get that picture from Choka, just don't use it for dartboard, please.
Hey, I got another thing here too. Indigenous Comic Book Workshop, August 12th, Wednesday to August 14th, 2 to 5. It's family fun night, and it's sponsored by Hennepin County Franklin Library, mm-hmm. Who will be sponsoring us during the live show at the fair. And that sounds fun, Indigenous Comic Book Workshop. Be there, be square.
I'm looking forward to that one.
I think we can make our own, right?
Hey, remember the picture we got? We're a cartoon, weren't we?
Yeah. So do you have a gaga?
I got a Native wisdom for you all here out there. He said, we all place ourselves in danger to one degree or another when we stand up, but we place our children and grandchildren in even greater danger when we don't.
I would like to end with these thoughts from Chief Plenty Coops. The ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. The revolution is kicking into high gear. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. You've been listening to Native Roots Radio, I'm Awake. I've been your host, Robert Pilot. I would like to thank our guests. I would like to thank everyone out there listening. And if you've been listening to this show, you are the resistance. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
We are awake.
Robbins Kaplan, LLP, protects and defends American Indian tribes because for too long they have faced a competitive disadvantage when litigating against powerful forces. With its American Indian law and policy practice, Robbins Kaplan, LLP, seeks to redefine excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country. Founded and led by former United States attorneys Brendan Johnson and Tim Purden, their American Indian law and policy practice exists to bring justice to tribal clients whose claims in the past have been dismissed or ignored due to their underdog status. Their American Indian law lawyers understand the challenges tribes face when state and local government infringe on tribal sovereignty and the federal government neglects its trust responsibilities. Their passion for tribal sovereignty and self-determination is the driving force behind their practice, fueling their tribal advice and advocacy, especially when tribes are forced to litigate against powerful interests. Robbins Kaplan, LLP, representing American Indian tribes, tribal government boards and commissions, individual tribal members, and American Indian business and business concerns. For more information, visit robbinskaplan.com.